Hey, I've got a joke to start off this week for you. There's an older lady, and she lives by herself. She goes out for the day, shopping spree. She comes home at night to find her door open and her house has been robbed. And even more than that, she actually finds the robber inside. And so she just declares Acts 2:38 at him. She's a lady that knows the Bible well, and I'm sure you all know the Bible well. And you know that Acts 2:38 is the verse that says, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins." Well, the robber just stops dead in his tracks, and he just sits calmly as she calls the police and waits for the police to arrive. Well, when the police turn up, they're dumbfounded. They look at the bloke, and he's a big guy, and she's a small woman, and they just can't put two and two together. And they say to the robber, they say, "Look, we're just dumbfounded. You're just sitting here calmly and waiting for us to arrive. You're a bigger guy than her. Why don't you just run away? Like, all she did was quote a Bible verse at you." And the robber looks at the policeman and goes, "Bible verse? What? What are you talking about? I thought she said she had an axe and 2:38s. Some of you might need to work out what a 38 is. It's actually a gun. Anyway, we're continuing our evangelism series today about the what if. What if we really believed in evangelism? What if we actually, like that lady, actually knew some of the verses of the Bible and were able to know what they were about and were able to use them? What if the power of the gospel was such that we could just speak out a verse of scripture and people would just be dumbfounded, or just not so much dumbfounded, but just stopped in their tracks because of the power and the revelation of the word of God over their life? Wow. What if good news was really good news? What if we actually really believed that? This week, I want to share, what if we had a message about Jesus we really wanted to share? What if we actually had a message that we couldn't wait to share? What thoughts come to mind when you think about sharing Jesus with someone else? We touched on that last week a little bit. We talked about that sometimes it's fear. We're afraid to share the message. What scares us about sharing that with Jesus? We talked about in the first week how evangelism is directly connected to our beliefs. What we believe about evangelism will be about what we do about evangelism, and that's whether we are believing about lies or truth. For example, maybe we're believing a lie that I don't have anything worthy to say to unbelievers. The truth is, or maybe we're believing a lie, about we're not capable. I'm not good enough, I'm not spiritual enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not clever enough to be able to share the good news about Jesus with others. Or I don't know enough about the Bible to share the good news about Jesus with others. Maybe that's a lie we're believing. Or maybe we actually, here's a good lie that I think we should laugh at that sometimes believe, is that the unbelievers don't want to hear about the good news about Jesus. And do Steve Backlund and laugh at that lie. Because I think that's actually a giveaway line that we often say, or that we have to have in the back of our mind, that we feel the Holy Spirit prompting us about being good news or sharing good news with others. And we fall for this lie that, oh, they don't really want to hear about it, or they don't really want to hear about it now, or they've got nothing to say about that, or why would they want, they're not interested. And we make a decision on their behalf based on our fear that they don't want to hear, and that's believing a lie. You know, some things about the truth that Jesus says in relation to his word, in 1 Timothy 2:4, it says God wants everyone to be saved. It says, this is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. We often ask what God's will is. Well, here's God's will. God's will is for everyone to be saved. Therefore, everyone, though they may not realise it, wants to hear about the good news because they've already been pre-wired and destined and created to be saved. Not saying that they will all be saved, but that's the predisposition that we were all created with, to be in relationship with our Creator. And God has also given us the task of reconciling others to himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18 to 20, it says, "And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for sin so that we could be made right through right with God through Christ. Wow. The truth is, God has given you and me this wonderful, given us this message of reconciliation. It says it's given us this wonderful message of reconciliation. It's a wonderful message. Who wouldn't want to hear a wonderful message of reconciliation? And so it says that you and I are actually being deemed by God to be his ambassadors on this earth. We are the ones who are bringing the message, this wonderful message of reconciliation, this good news to others on this planet. God is making his appeal through you and through me. Wow. So some of those lies we had earlier about fear, about not being smart enough, clever enough, we're actually being destined to be his ambassadors with a wonderful message of reconciliation. Furthermore than that, Peter tells us to be ready to explain our faith in Jesus. In 1 Peter 3, 14 to 15, it says, so don't be worried or afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship the Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. So Peter is encouraging us to say, hey, be ready to have an answer for your hope. Be ready to explain your faith. Give it some thought. Prepare ahead of time. And when you do it in a gentle and a loving and respectful way. Don't jam it down someone's throat. Don't preach hellfire and brimstone at them. Do it in a loving and relational, gentle way. But be prepared to share with your hope. And Timothy tells us, or Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 4:5, work at telling other people the good news about Jesus. He says, don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. What Paul is saying there to Timothy is saying, hey, the sharing the good news is something we actually have to work at. It's not just something that we have an innate ability with. It's actually something that we have to take time to think about and foster and upgrade and skill in. It's like learning to play the piano. It's something we actually have to work at. It's something we have to probably get lessons in and get taught about and get become more proficient in and grow in our ability to be consistent and fluent in that and learn notes and read the situation or, you know, read the music, so to speak. Sight read that. We need to sight read, be able to learn to see what's happening around us and then be able to play the message of wonderful message of reconciliation into that situation. So as disciples and followers of Jesus, the truth is we know it's God's will for us to share good news about Jesus with pre-believers. We know that we've been given the wonderful message of reconciliation and that we've been deemed God's ambassadors. We know that we are exhorted and we are to be prepared with the message of good news to share. And we are encouraged to work at sharing this good news and this message with others. So, what if we had a message about Jesus we really wanted to share? What's our message actually going to be? I want to just remind us about this, that this little line that's often shared is the medium is the message. It was a phrase coined by Canadian communicator and thinker Marshall McLuhan, and it means the form of message, whether it's print, whether it's visual, musical, or whether it's even personal, me, determines the way in which the message is perceived. So the medium is the message. So as ambassadors of Jesus, with a wonderful message of reconciliation, our life is a walking, talking message. That's the most important thing about sharing good news, is that we realise we are the message. And so irrespective of whether we feel we have to have, you know, memorise kind of a something to say or whatever it is, the best thing that we can offer those who don't yet believe in Jesus is our lives as a wonderful message of reconciliation. Look at my faith. Look at how Jesus is in my life. I want to share some testimonies about what Jesus did for me. I want to pray for you. I want to show you the power of God working in me and through me. I want you to see the hope I have in Jesus. I want you to see that I'm not about doom and gloom, but I am about hope and the glory of God and everlasting life. I want you to see that I'm about changing this planet, and I'm about seeing the good news of Jesus and the goodness of Jesus invading my life and everyone's life. And so as you look at my life and go, what's different about me? Or why can you smile in the season? Or what? I'm the message. I am the medium is the message. And hopefully people see good news in me that they want and they are attracted to. Revelation 19:11 says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so every day, wherever I go, I ooze Jesus in and out of my life for others to see. How I say thank you in a cafe for my coffee, or how I engage with the barista, or how I engage with the people in the supermarket or down the street, or whether I react or whether I show love to people when I drive, or all those different things. I'm the message, and I'm sharing good news every day by just living my life in worship and glory to Jesus. That being said, Paul does say, hey, be ready to explain the good news. So we should have some verbal message or some way that we are able to explain the good news about Jesus and have that up our sleeves to be able to share. And so what would we explain if we're given the opportunity to do that? You know, there's no right or wrong, in a sense, best way to share the good news about Jesus, but we do need to have some way or some message that we are able to share. And so in this week's e-bulletin, I highlighted a message or a form, a stairway I've put together, a document just about a way of explaining the good news. And you'll see on that form there's two different sides. And that's because one of the sides is more preferred for communicating the message, the good news of Jesus, to people who are, a bit older, middle-aged and above, and the other is to sharing it to a younger generation. So you can take your pick about which you respond to or which you want to share that with. And it's not the be-all and end-all, but it is a good message or a good template for sharing a message, and I just want to quickly unpack that now. The first part about the message, it starts with God's family. And in Colossians 1 and verse 5, it says, which come from confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. I think the starting place for sharing good news should always be the love of God. So many things I've seen or attempts to share the good news about Jesus don't really start with much good news. They actually start with, you know what, you're a sinner. You're a worthless worm. You're miles away from God. You should just repent of your sins, ask Jesus for forgiveness, and all will be well. In actual fact, God loves everyone, whether they are an unbeliever or a believer. He loves them all unconditionally the same, and he accepts everyone unconditionally the same. It's just that not everyone believes in that. Some are believers and have believed into that. Others haven't yet believed into that. So I think we should always start with God as creator loves you because he made you, and he made you in his image and his likeness. Therefore, everyone has immense value. And we should be communicating that to people, saying you are a person of incredible value. Because lots of people on this planet don't know that and need to hear that and need to know that they have incredible value, that they've been created, that they're not just here randomly or they're not just here killing time, but they are people of incredible value and they have been wonderfully and complexly made, as the psalmist says in Psalm 139. And God is a good, good father who made us to be his children. Yeah, there's a lot of bad things that are happening in this planet. Are they the result of God? I think not. Are they a result of humans' selfishness and greed? I think yes. So we need to differentiate between lots of people who put the bad things onto God because that's what they think, that's who they think God is. So we need to start with truth about who God is. He's a good, good father. And he created us to be his child. He is God, he is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's three in one who live in perfect relationship. They model for us perfect family, perfect relationship, and they made us to be included and to share that relationship with them. The Shack is a great movie to kind of highlight that, or that the book to highlight that kind of interaction with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you're kind of wanting a visual, or to wanting something that you can utilize with people to say, hey, come watch this great movie about interacting that and trying to understand what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit look like, their relationship and what they're inviting us into with that. So it starts with being part of God's family or God's family. The second part is, like, it's kind of like the question is, well, if that's God's intention for us as family, why don't we know God like that? And the reason is because we became orphans. And we were separated from that family. In Colossians 1 and verse 21, it says that you were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yes, a deception did take place a long time ago for the first people to distrust their God, their Father, and trust their own judgment instead. That's Adam and Eve trusted their own judgment instead of God. And the choice that, which we call sin, made them orphans because it broke perfect relationship with God. And in breaking that perfect relationship, they had to step out of the Garden of Eden and that place that was just, you know, that God had created for that perfect relationship with them. We inherited their mindset as generation after generation. And then we also became orphans from God. Not knowing what was possible, we show this by the choices we make. And as a result, we search for self-worth, we search for fulfillment in life and security apart from God because we feel that he's distant. Everyone wants to know who they are. They want their identity. They want to know that they belong and they want to know that their purpose is. And that's what happened when we became orphans, when we were alienated from God. It's good to note there that did God ever stop loving Adam and Eve? Absolutely not. He still loved them unconditionally. He still accepted them unconditionally. But because of their sin, he couldn't partner with them because they made a decision to alienate themselves from God. God did not make a decision to alienate himself from us. And so we need to do something about being orphans. God's love for us is never ending. He's never angry with us. He's near to us, and he just wants us to come home. And so he devised a rescue plan. So we started with family, we became orphans. God says, I want to rescue you. In Colossians 1 and verse 22, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Jesus is God, and he became human. And although he was God, he came in the form of Jesus and lived on earth as a man. And he demonstrated a perfect life of love and truth for us and power towards others because of his close relationship with his Father. And Jesus demonstrated to us the full extent of God's love when he took on our sinful or our independent and our broken or our human nature in himself when he died for us. And then three days later, he raised to new life. And Jesus now lives with his Father forever, in victory over the devil, in victory over sin and guilt and shame and condemnation and death. He has devised a rescue plan that was for all human beings of all time, of all generations. And now we can come back into relationship with the Father through what Jesus has done for us. That's got to be a wonderful message of reconciliation or good news. And so Jesus, God, formed a way for us to be adopted back into the family that God created us originally to be part of. And Colossians 1 and verse 13 says, for he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. You see, the Father is inviting everyone. He's inviting you, he's inviting me to trust in him and believe what he's done for us in Jesus. If we make that choice to believe in him, he makes the decision, or he's faithful, to forgive us and make us clean. He promises to adopt us as his children so we'll know him and his love for us. He promises to make us into a new creation, fully righteous, with a fully righteous nature. And the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will come to us and make their home with us. You know, that's the story. Family. We become orphans because of our own independent thinking and rebellion. Jesus devises a rescue plan so that we can be adopted. At that point, it's really important that we ask people, you know, what do you, how do you respond to that message? And remember, there's that angle scale where people are at different levels of that. And so we're kind of, this is a process where maybe after over a period of time of people becoming more aware of who Jesus is and what he is about, we finally get to a point of having a conversation with them about that. And at the end of that conversation, it's really important that we say, hey, what do you think about that? You see, too often we just leave people with open-ended statements or open-ended comments, and people are often waiting for us to ask them a direct question. It's like you sometimes sit around home and have a discussion about different things, about options for food or something for a meal, and different people say different things, but no one actually asks, so what are we going to have? Or what's going to happen? There's just this assumption that we've talked about it, so we know. But we don't always know. We have to ask people those questions. And so it's important that we speak to people and we say to people, hey, what do you think about what you've heard? Do you want to come back to the Father? See, because people need to have a question. People need to have a statement or something that's asked of them. We need to be given the choice about that. And it is a choice. We don't want to lead people and say, so don't you want to come back to the Father? Like, that's not being gentle and respecting people. We don't want to say, you should come back to the Father. That's not being gentle and respectful either. And it's taking away their free will. We want to just ask people, do you want to come back to the Father? The choice is yours. Here's God's plan of us being in family. We had become orphans. Maybe you've been feeling that lostness or lacking identity, purpose, and security. Here's a rescue plan that Jesus offers to restore that. He wants to adopt us as his children. Would you like to do that? Maybe they won't be ready at that stage, but at least that seed is sown. You know, it's like those ads on TV, the kind of the little heart ones where it goes, not too late, it's not too late, it's not too late. And that's kind of like the conversation. They say someone needs to hear the actual gospel message sometimes 7 times before they actually respond. And that might be 7 times in a whole bunch of 7 different ways. It might be 7 times and once from you and 6 times from someone else. It's a whole range of different ways. But it's not always the first time that someone just responds if that's the first time they've heard it. So don't be discouraged by that. The last part about that is being transformed. In Colossians 1, verse 9 to 12, it says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of life. If that's so, if you want to come back to the Father, then ask for his forgiveness in your own way. We don't necessarily need to lead people through a prayer and say the right words or what. We can do that, then there's nothing wrong with that. But just encourage people. If that's your heart, then ask the Father for forgiveness and come back to him. Thank him for dying for you, removing your sin and making you new. Tell Jesus you trust in his goodness and love and will love and follow him in everything. And receive Jesus into your life and believe that you are now a new creation, fully righteous in nature. In Jesus, we are included in God's family and we become someone who can transform the earth with the same power, the same love and truth that was exemplified in Jesus. That's John 14, 12. Wow, what a great, wonderful message of reconciliation. We are God's ambassadors with that wonderful message. And it's important that we share the truth, but it's more important we share from the heart of who we are. Remember that we are the message. We are qualified to share. We are all ambassadors. So prepare. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to work at it. It doesn't need to be perfect. So don't feel we can't share till we get it all right, because we'll be always trying to get it all right. Just share from the heart. Be ourselves. We just need to be ready for the opportunity. We've got it, Grace Point. We've got this. We just need to know that we are the message, but then also have a message to share. God's family, orphans, rescued, adopted, transformed. Even if we just remember those 5 words and attach things to it, that's a great starting point. We don't need to remember all the verses, but we just need that to start to go with something.